You are now listening to the Bayshore Community Church podcast. Our mission is to connect to God, connect to people, and to serve the community. Thank you for joining us today, and wherever you are listening, we hope that this message inspires you, encourages you, and transforms you. Our prayer is that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, 9 a.m. How y'all doing? That's pretty good for a rainy Sunday morning, all right? This weekend, it has been so windy. Did anybody parasail to church today? You could have kite surfed. Did anybody ride a jet ski? I mean, it could have been, oh my goodness. But it's been a crazy weekend. I love it that you guys are here because it's just not the prettiest weekend. Maybe you like, hey, we got to get out. We got to do something. And I'm glad you came to church. And so kudos to you guys. And if you're new here, listen, I think that's amazing that you came to our church because, you know, you probably got to the top of the stairs this morning. You're like, look down, like, it's down there? You want me to go down there? Yeah, I'm out. Peace out. Okay. You walked into church, and I think that's amazing. And so I hope afterwards you can stop by and say hello to me afterwards. I'll be out in the lobby. My name is Joel. I have the privilege of being the campus pastor here, but come by and say hello after the service. Also, a big shout out to our online family. And so can we just show some love to our first-timers and onliners? You guys are amazing. Hey, listen, last weekend we threw our 10-year annual baptism party, and my mind is still blown about last weekend. 21 of you took your next step and were baptized in here. Speaking of 21, some of you ate 21 pretzels from the Pretzelvania pretzel truck. I saw some of you get back in that line. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. But we got to celebrate that 21 people, 47 people in our church, like that is amazing. And so we do a party last weekend. If you missed it, you can catch up online and we'll do another one next September. But the party's not over because we're still in this series called Where's the Party? And last weekend was our baptism party, and today is going to be our communion party. Now, some of you are like, oh, it's a communion party. That must mean there's real wine up in this church. I like this church. I'll tell you this every time. We are a juice church. You are too wild for real wine. Okay, so anyway, to start this thing out, I like to do this, but can you all go back to your childhood? I do this all the time. Go back. Now, I know for some of you, that's just like 5 years ago. You know, some younger kids are in the room. But for most of you in the room, this is like 500 years ago or longer, okay? But just go all the way back. And I'm curious. I just need to do a church poll. How many of you went to church as a kid? Let me see your hands. Like if you were churching it as, oh my goodness. It didn't work, did it? Okay, on some of you all. Jerry, it didn't work on you. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Jerry. Listen, I bet you my Aldi quarter for my grocery cart today, I bet you I went to way more church than all you all when you were kids. I bet you I did, okay? And I'm gonna prove it right now. Here is the house that I grew up in. We'll put it on, okay. This is my house, my childhood house, no lie. This is our church. You all owe me a quarter, okay? Did you know you can live too close to the church? I always tell people I grew up with a drug problem because my parents drug me to church every single day, which is pretty easy when your bunk bed is 7 feet from the church foyer. You know what I'm saying? So somehow somebody put a church in my yard, all right? And so I remember one Sunday morning, we're getting ready for church, me and my brother, and my mom was like, hey guys, today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. Now, I did not know what the Lord's Supper was, okay? All right, but this one good thing about country churches is church meals. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yes, all right? And so what would happen is every quarter we'd have the church dinner and all the church little old church grannies, they would cook their best thing. I'm talking fried chicken, homemade mashed taters, macaroni and cheese, pies for days. Come on, somebody. You getting hungry thinking about that church granny cook? Yeah. Now, real talk, there was always that one church granny you didn't eat what she made. You know, like the whole church would line up at her dish and be like, we don't know what that is. Nobody eat that. This was a church granny who had, she always had cat hair on her sweater because she was a church cat lady. I'm kidding. Offended Jerry and the cat people, okay? But I remember thinking, listen, the church granny's lunches or dinners were amazing. So the Lord's Supper has got to be amazing, okay? So we got ready and we went to church. It took us 2 seconds to get to church. And we walked in, and I remember at the front of our church, we had this table, and I found a picture of a similar table on the internet this week. Who remembers this? Oh, yeah. So I walked in, and I'm like, I look at the table, I'm like, this do in remembrance of me. I'm like, Mom, is that a Yoda quote? Because doesn't it kind of sound like Yoda, like, this do in remembrance of me? I can't do it. Anyway. She's like, no, it's not Yoda. It's Jesus who said that. And she was like, honey, that table is, you know, that's where the Lord's Supper is. It's all on the table. And she said, today you're going to get a little cracker and a little sip of juice for the Lord's Supper. I'm like, that's it? That can't be the Lord's Supper. Was Jesus skinny? He must have been on a diet, okay? I mean, I didn't understand because, like, Brother Phil at church, for our church suppers, he ate 737 times what I was supposed to be getting at the Lord's Supper. And so it didn't make any sense. And my mom said, the Lord's Supper, it's not supper, it's communion. And I'm like, well, somebody needs to rename it then. Because I skip breakfast for this. But I remember thinking, like, I didn't understand what communion was. Okay, I just knew that was not supper. The Lord's Supper was not like a supper meal. And so I remember thinking, like, what is communion all about? And the wild thing is, it was written on the table. This do in remembrance of me, which I didn't know that Jesus said that. I thought Yoda said it. But Jesus invented communion so that we could celebrate it by remembering him. Now, when we think about Jesus, we got a lot to celebrate, don't we, people? Oh my goodness, listen, Jesus died so we could live. And when he paid for our sin, he didn't just pay for some, he paid it all. And he walked out of that grave alive 3 days later to prove our forgiveness. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Come on, like you and me, and we all have something good to celebrate when we remember Jesus. Isn't that true? And so Jesus said, when you take it, you got to remember me. And so today, to set up communion, I want to remember my favorite miracle that Jesus ever did, okay? And my favorite miracle that Jesus ever did was his most famous miracle of all time, and it's my favorite because it involves food. And not just like a little snack kind of food. We're talking Jesus fed thousands of people. And if Jesus was feeding me, I would personally order, you know, maybe steak and lobster. Surf and turf, come on, somebody, come on. All right, but apparently this was like, these people were on a Mediterranean diet, they got fish and chips instead, okay? So, but for this miracle, the setup is this. Jesus and his boys, they have been working hard. They have been healing people. They have been, you know, preaching. They have been working. And so they decided they need a little weekend getaway at the lake house. So they went to the Sea of Galilee, and they were going to do some water skiing. By the way, when Jesus water skis, he doesn't use skis. I couldn't help it. Sorry, church joke. Anyway, so they go to the Sea of Galilee. They're supposed to be like getting away from everybody. And so they're just kind of hanging out at the Sea of Galilee and at their lake house. And the doorbell, the Ring doorbell rings. And Peter looks at his iPhone. And by the way, Has your doorbell ever rung and you ignored it because you didn't want to talk to the people who were at the door? Come on, who's done this before? Yeah, a lot of you are lying right now, okay? But the doorbell rings, like ding, ding, ding. Peter looks at his iPhone and there's thousands of people on there. And so Peter's, they're all 12 disciples, they're in the house with Jesus. And Peter's like, shh. And Jesus is like, well, why? Like, who's out there? And Peter's like, everybody is out there. There's thousands of people out there. And so Jesus is like, well, we got to go talk to them. Jesus opens the door and is like, hey, how y'all doing? And the disciples are like, great. There goes the weekend. There goes water skiing. It's all over. Jesus has to heal all these people. Okay. And Jesus gave up his vacation to spend his time with thousands of people because it says he had compassion on them. And so that's kind of where we pick up Jesus' most famous miracle of all time. And it's in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, send the crowds away. Like, we wanted you to not even open the door, but you had to answer the ring doorbell. Would you send these people away to the nearby villages and farms so that they can find food and lodging for the night? There's nothing to what? There's nothing to eat in this remote place." Now, question. Did the disciples sound hangry to you? They sound hangry to me. And don't miss this. Thousands of people in this story, they forgot to eat because it's late. And the only people bringing up food, who's the only people bringing up food? The disciples. Now, there's a few things that you'll never hear me say. Like, you'll never hear me say, "Guys, this week, we bought a kitten." You're never going to hear me say that, okay? You're never going to hear me say, "Woo, I love traffic. Oh, man, yeah. New Jersey, just get in front of me and stop accelerating for no reason at all. I love it." Come on, who's never saying that? You never saying that? Never going to say that. Here's one thing you're definitely never going to hear me say. "I forgot to eat lunch." I may forget to floss. I may forget to take my multivitamin. I have forgot my kids off the bus, but I am never going to forget to eat lunch. Okay, like last weekend for baptism party Sunday, would you agree that I was probably pretty busy during the day? Yeah, I was pretty busy. But at 11:45, my internal lunch alarm went off. And I stopped everything I was doing. I went and got in the pretzel line twice. And listen, thankfully, I wasn't doing a baptism at that time, because if you were under, I would have just left you under and gone to the pretzel truck. I do not forget to eat lunch. Now, sometimes I skip meals. Like, for instance, on Tuesday, I'm going to all-you-can-eat crabs. Woo! And listen, I'm going to put that place out of business. So I'm going to skip my lunch for all-you-can-eat crabs. Now, by the way, hush puppies. Whoever thought, "Hey, we should fry some bread, and then let's just cover it in sugar afterwards." That person deserves a statue, okay? Anyway, I may skip some meals sometimes. I am not going to forget, though, to eat a meal. And in this story, thousands of people were so fascinated with Jesus that they forgot to eat. And they were fascinated with Jesus because they had never seen someone love people like Jesus loved people. They had never seen someone heal people like Jesus healed. They had never seen someone teach, "Hey, love each other like Jesus taught." And somehow they were so captivated by Jesus that they were fascinated and forgot to eat their meal. Now, there's 12 people in this story that did not forget to eat their meal. Who were those people? The disciples. Somehow, the people who were closest to Jesus were so used to him that they lost their fascination with him. Did you know it's possible to be so used to Jesus that we lose our fascination with him? Did you know that? Which is why at our church, we are all about celebration. That's why we celebrate that 21 people last weekend, 21 people got baptized. We celebrate that. All right, I'm going to say this again because we're kind of like, 21 people got baptized last weekend. We celebrate that. That is amazing. That is not normal. And not only that, this year, I was looking up this week because I track all this stuff, 101 people in this room have said yes to Jesus. This year in 2023, 101 people. And in December, and you guys know this, we closed on our land for Go Above Ground. We bought 4 acres of land, 2 miles that way. So far this year, we have paid off over half that land. Oh my goodness. That is just worth celebrating. By the way, next weekend, I'm going to give you an announcement about Go Above Ground. It's good, guys. Don't miss next weekend. Okay, anyway, But we always want to celebrate at our church. And I'm just telling you, I never want us to get so used to Jesus that we lose our fascination with him. But you can get so used to him that you lose your fascination with him. But here's the thing. I bet you, if you're a Jesus follower, he's done some fascinating things in your life. Hasn't he? And so remember those things when you take communion, because he has done fascinating things. But the disciples, okay, they lost their fascination, but they did not lose their appetite. And so they're like, Jesus, food, we need it. And so here's what happens in the next verse. But Jesus said to them, okay, you feed them. It's called a Jesus burn right here. Jesus is like, hey, listen, you all didn't even want me to answer the doorbell, Peter. And then you all thought I was all boring. You weren't even listening to me anymore. But now you're asking for food. So why don't you all bust out your Blackstone grill? Why don't you feed them yourself? And they're like, you want us to feed them? And so they're like, but we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd? For there were about how many men there? 5,000 men there. Now, last Sunday was a big deal for our church. We did our baptism party Sunday. You know, I've been celebrating that with you all morning. But last Sunday was a big deal in our neighborhood, okay? Because our neighborhood had the last day of the swimming pool open day. You could bring your dog to swim in the pool. And so they called it like, you know, bring your dog to swim in the pool on the last day that the pool's open for the season day. Doesn't it just roll off the tongue? Bring your dog to swim in the pool for the last day. Anyway, has anybody ever heard of a bring your dog to the neighborhood pool to swim in the pool before it closes on the last day of the season day? Anybody ever heard of this before? Okay, a few people. I never heard of this. Stacy brought it up to me, and I'm like, well, we got to go to that. I mean, that sounds like a lawsuit just waiting to happen. I got to see this. And so my whole family went, plus our 2 dogs went. And listen, it was the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I didn't get a good picture, but I did get a picture. This is a picture of the dog swimming at the pool day. By the way, I wish you could smell the picture. Anybody ever smelled 30 wet dogs at one time? They should have called it dry heave at the pool day. That's what it really was. Anyway, in this picture, there's 11 dogs in this picture. My dog is with my smoking hot wife over here, so this is little Charlie right here. We had 2 dogs. I don't know where the other dog is, to be honest, in the picture. But we went, and it was wild. There was like 30 dogs there total, and there was no rules. No leashes, no rules. These dog owners just let their dog do whatever they want. And can you imagine what was going on there? Dogs were peeing and pooping, doing stuff that I can't talk about. We're in church, okay? But I'm at the pool, and I'm thinking, I don't know how I'll ever get back in this pool next season or ever. But there were like 30 dogs there, and if I just said, hey, there's 11 dogs in this picture, would that have counted all the crazy dog parents and all the other dogs that were not in the picture? Would that have counted them? No. Okay. The same thing is going on in the story that we're reading with Jesus doing the miracle. Luke says there's 5,000 men there, but there's also like women and children that Luke didn't count. And most people think there's around 15,000 people at this event. Now, question, why not count the other 10,000? That's a lot of people, right? And here's why. In that society, women and children didn't really count. And I just think 2,000 years later, we still got a long way to go with that, don't we? We got a long way to go with that. And so I just thought I'd take a little pause break and just say, women, you count. You are valuable. We wouldn't have gotten here to church on time if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So women, come on, can we give these women a hand? You all count. Kids, you count. I know some of you are in here, some of you are back in daycare kids, but kids, count so much. I'm telling you, nobody showed value to women and children like Jesus. Jesus was the one who said, hey, men, husbands, let's love our wives like I love the church. That was brand new stuff. Jesus was the one who said, hey, yeah, kids, let the kids come to me. And so in a society that didn't even count women and children, Jesus always showed women and children value. And that is important. And just a spoiler alert in this story, because we don't see it in this version. I think it's in John's version. Like the fish and chips for the miracle came from a little boy. Now, you might be like, well, why'd you give me the spoiler? I was going to go home and read the story. Well, it's been out for 2,000 years. You had time, okay? Anyway, but Jesus, for his most famous miracle of all time, he used someone that society didn't count for the miracle. And if you're in this room right now, or if you're watching online right now, and you're thinking, hey, I don't count because society has told you you don't count, maybe religious society has told you you don't count, I don't know who said you don't count, but they can't count, because Jesus said you counted. As a pattern, Jesus always chose people whose society didn't count for his biggest and best miracles, okay? So if you feel like you don't count right now, I just want you to walk out knowing you count. You matter. You are valuable to Jesus. And so in this story, Jesus is like, hey, no one's counting this kid, so we're going to pick him for the miracle. And so here's what happens next. In verse 14, it says, Jesus replied to about 15,000 people, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. And so the people all sat down. Now, I think this is the actual miracle in the story. Can you imagine getting 15,000 people to sit in groups of 50? Can you imagine? Okay, we're going to count off. Okay, we're going to start with you, Frank. Me? Don't start with me. I don't want to be first. Okay, no, but you go, okay. Oh. Okay, fine, I'll go. Are we counting in evens or odds? Just numbers. One. I don't want to be in Frank's group. I want to be in their group. I don't want... You got to... Fine. Two. What are we doing? Is there a liability waiver? How do we do this? No, just... Three. Eight? No, you're not eight. What number were we on? Just start again with Frank. Okay, what? I'm doing it again? Can you imagine this? Getting 15,000 people in groups of 50? That's the actual miracle. Anyway, that's kind of how I read stories. But what I can't miss in this situation is that they had to be in the sitting position to receive good things from Jesus. Do you see that? They had to be in the sitting position to receive good things from Jesus. Did you know you can position yourself to receive good things from Jesus in your life? Did you know that? And guess what? You're doing it right now. You're in church. Come on, give me a high five. You made it to church during the tropical, whatever this situation is. And I'm telling you, when you show up in church every Sunday or whenever you come, you are inviting Jesus to change your life. And when you sing in church or attempt to sing in church, you are inviting Jesus into your life. And I'm telling you, Jesus, when you invite him to change your life, when you position yourself in church and you sing and you read your Bible, you are positioning yourself for Jesus to do something in your life. And Jesus, he makes life better and he makes us better at life. I'm telling you, I joke like I had a drug problem growing up because my parents drug me to church all the time. I am so thankful they did. Oh my goodness, because church my whole life has taught me, hopefully, to be a better husband, to be a better dad, hopefully to be a better boss, to be a better leader to you guys, to be better with money, to be less angry on Route 1. Still working on that. But listen, Jesus, I've been in church my whole life, and I feel like Jesus has changed my whole life. And so, listen, I'm just curious. Let's do a church poll. Has this church or any church helped change you for the good? Let me see your hands. Look at that. Why did that happen? Because you positioned yourself in church. I just want to encourage you. You're in church, so I'm like preaching to the choir. Keep positioning yourself, though, to just let Jesus pour into you. Keep positioning yourself. Your future self will thank you for it. And so 15,000 people positioning themselves in groups of 50, which that's the miracle. But this next part is what ties the story to the communion story, all right? And so when we get to this, all right, we're here. I want you to just read all these bold words out loud as I read this, okay? So we need participation. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. Hi, my name is Joel, and I am OCD. Thank you. Okay, two people did that with me. Listen, I am so OCD, I hate that the letters OCD are out of alphabetical order. CDO is what it should be, okay? So I am OCD, I see patterns. And I cannot help but see a pattern in this. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Do you see it? He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. And this week, I thought, that's the exact same pattern every Jesus follower goes through in their life. Jesus takes us, and he blesses us, and then life tries to break us, but then he gives us what we need to get through that. Jesus takes us, he blesses us, life tries to break us, and then he gives us what we need to get through that. Has anybody ever noticed that in your life? That's a pattern, that's what happens? And so I just thought we'd kind of break down this pattern, okay? So first off, if you're a Jesus follower, that's because you let Jesus take you by the hand. It kind of reminds me of baseball, actually. I always talk about football, but any baseball fans in the room? Any baseball fans? Okay. Okay. Any Yankees fans? Okay, we'll pray for you guys, okay? I'm an Orioles fan. You probably could have guessed that. But listen, did you know we have a local baseball team? Did you know that? Who's our local baseball team? The Shorebirds. Okay, now some of you are like, oh, the Shorebirds. Is the Shorebird a seagull? No, because the seagull is the devil's bird. And if I ever go to the boardwalk with you and you feed a seagull a Thrasher's French fry, we are kicking you out of the church. Everyone's welcome here unless you feed seagulls. I think we should put that on a shirt, you know, like everyone's welcome here unless you feed seagulls. Anyway, but our family, we go to one Shorebirds game a year. And the reason that is because my kid's school does this really cool promotion where if each student reads 3 books, you get 2 free Shorebirds tickets. Free Shorebirds tickets. And when that happens, I get very involved in my kids' homework. Okay, I'm like, kids, I will feed you dinner if you read 3 books, okay? And so they always read their books because they want to eat in our house, okay? So last year, my kids did their thing. We got 4 tickets for our family, and Stacy went online. She booked our tickets, our seats. She picked them out, and we got to the stadium, and you would not believe how many kids also read 3 books. I mean, I was looking at some of these kids. I'm like, I don't know about this one. I think this kid might be lying, okay? It was packed. We get to the gate. I felt like I was in a Where's Waldo book. All right, there was just people everywhere around me. And so my wife is assertive. And so she was like, honey, take Nixon by the hand. I'm going to take Nora by the hand. I'm like, why? What are we doing? And she's like, I'm going to get us to our seats. I'm like, well, how? There's all these people. And she's like, you ever been bowling? Listen, we are knocking over little old, you know, grannies like a bowling pin, toddlers like, bam, get out of the way. We got to the seats though because Stacy's assertive. And our seats, Stacy will tell you after the service, they were the best seats I have ever had in a baseball game. I mean, we were on the first baseline at the very front row of our section. We had our 4 seats, and it was so crowded that there was 2 seats beside us, and a family of 4 sat in the 2 seats beside us. 4 people. And their kids sat in their lap for 9 innings. I'm like, this place is for real sold out. And anyway, like, I enjoyed the game. They probably did not. But the game was awesome, and afterwards we're sitting in the car, and Stacy's on her phone, like looking at, she's researching something, and she's like, huh? I'm like, huh? What, huh? And she's like, we were sitting in the wrong seats for the game. I was like, oh, that's why there's 4 people were sitting in those 2 seats. We were in their seats, okay? Which, if that's you, if you're here today, I am so sorry. It was my wife's fault, okay? She did it. No, that really happened, okay? But my point of that story is, like, we had to take our kids by their hands to get them to the best seats I've ever sat in. And so we just took them by the hand, which the seats weren't ours in the first place, apparently. But when you let Jesus take you by the hand, I believe he helps you experience the best in life. When you let him take you by the hand and lead you, you get to experience the best in life. And you might be like, well, that's, no, I don't think that's in the Bible. Really? Really? Because Jesus is the one who said, hey, I came to give you life and to give it what? More abundantly. And so when we let him take us by the hand, he leads us to blessing, because that's the pattern. He takes us and he blesses us. Now, last Monday, I was at our Millsboro campus. We were in meetings, and our executive pastor, Jeremy, walked into the meeting, and he gave me this weird look. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever given you a weird look, but he's like, I'm like, what? If I smell like wet dog, I can explain, okay? It was, he's like, no. He said, I park beside you in the parking lot, and well, here's a picture of your tire right now, and he showed me this picture. Now, I was in church when he showed me this, like literally in church. And so I'm 99% sure I didn't say a cuss word. I'm 100% sure I thought one, okay? Because I'm like, dang it. And I got home later, okay? And $313 later, I got home for the night, and Stacy was like, hey, how was your day? I was like, let me tell you about my day. I got 313 reasons this day was terrible. And I started complaining faster than a rap song, you know what I'm saying? You ever done this before? And my wife is so kind. She let me go through the whole thing, and I'm like losing my mind. And after I went through it, and she was like, well, did we have money to replace the tire? I was like, well, yeah, in our emergency fund. And she's like, well, shouldn't you be thanking Jesus that we had an emergency fund and we were so blessed? I'm like, why you got to bring Jesus into it? Every time you got to do this to me. Am I the only one who gets mad about the very things that should remind us how blessed we are? And is it just me? And who else does this? Get mad about the very thing that should remind you how blessed you are? If you're not raising your hand, Butch, can you put a nail in these people's tires? We'll see how mad they get out in the parking lot, okay? But listen, we are so blessed. And if gas prices go up, which they will, you're blessed that you even got a car. If you got a bum knee, good news, you got two knees. If you lose your job, you are now freed up to find your dream job that pays even more. Come on, somebody. If you're able to walk down 23 stairs today, you're blessed. If you have eyes to see today, you're blessed. If you have ears to hear today, you're blessed. If you're a Washington Commanders fan, you've won two games. That's more than you've won in the last two decades combined. You are blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Butch, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. We are so blessed. And I don't know what situation's going on in your life that's making you think, I just wish I could get out of this. I just know there are millions of people that would look at your exact same situation and say, I wish I could get into that. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. And we got to remember that, because the next part is the not fun part, because life tries to break us. Because Jesus took us, he blessed us, and life tries to break us. Has that life ever tried to break anybody in the room? Come on, who knows about it? Yeah. Listen, abuse will try to break you. Addiction will try to break you. Depression will try to break you. Believe me, I know that one. Been there 2011 and 2013. I know about depression. Divorce will try to break you. Disease will try to break you. Other people will try to break you. A miscarriage will try to break you. Money problems will try to break you. And some of you are broken. You're broken right now. And if that's you, I'm sorry. I hate that for you. But what I do love to look at, I'm so thankful that even though Jesus was broken on the cross, 3 days later, he walked out of there to prove to us that that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of your story. And so if you feel broken right now, okay, I just want you to know that in this story, the multiplication and the miracle didn't happen until the brokenness happened. The brokenness came right before the breakthrough. And so if you're broken right now, you're the perfect candidate for a breakthrough. And you sit right on the other side of life changing for the better, because he takes us and he blesses us, and then life tries to break us, but then the miracle happens and he gives us what we need. Because in this story, he then gave out fish and chips to 15,000 people and they ate, because Jesus is a giver. And you might be like, I don't know. I think he just wants to take my fun. He wants to take my money. Listen, Jesus isn't a taker. He's a giver. The only thing he takes from us is our sin. You know what I'm saying? He wants to give to you. And so life, okay, in life, when you start following Jesus, he takes us by the hand. He blesses us. Light tries to break us, but then he gives us what we need to get through it. Now, maybe you're like, well, Joel, I thought we're taking communion. And so, like, what about the Lord's Supper? You know, which at 5 years old, I thought was more like the Lord's snack. But fast forward to Luke chapter 22, all right? So Jesus is with his disciples again. This time they're not at the lake house water skiing. They are at this upstairs room, and they're celebrating Passover, because communion is supposed to be a party. And so they're celebrating Passover, and just watch what happens. And this is in Luke 22, verse 19. He took some of the bread, and he gave thanks, or he blessed it to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he says this phrase that was on the front of the table that I saw at the church, you know, this do in remembrance of me, all right, which I didn't understand because it was King James, but he said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, question, you guys are smart people. Do you all see? You see something in here? The pattern. There's the pattern. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it at the very first communion. Now, I bet you, again, my Aldi quarter for my grocery cart, I bet you one of the disciples was sitting there and like, wait a minute. I remember this from the lake house. Because it's almost like Jesus wanted us, when we celebrate communion, to remember that he takes us and he blesses us. And then life tries to break us and he gives us what we need to get through it. I'm going to end with this story. I have a favorite baptism from last weekend. And that's probably jacked up, you know, to have a favorite, because we did 21. And if you're one of the 20, I thought those were amazing. But there was one favorite of mine, and it was Debbie's baptism. We'll throw this picture on the screen. This is Debbie, and I love her smile on this picture. You maybe haven't seen Debbie walking around our church very much. Debbie is, she volunteers as our Facebook Live moderator. And so what that means is Nate has put her in our back closet over here by the dehumidifier. That is true. Like, Debbie is on, like, sitting on the dehumidifier, people. So I hope you gave $1 million for go above ground, because Debbie's sitting on the dehumidifier. But Debbie's story inspires me, because Jesus took Debbie by the hand 10 years ago when her friend took her to church, and she said, for the next 5 years, I experienced Jesus's love like I have never experienced love in my life. So Jesus took her by the hand and he blessed her. But the last 5 years, life has tried to break Debbie. Debbie, she lost her marriage for a legit reason 5 years ago. And so she got divorced 5 years ago. And then her mom died right after she got divorced. And then right after her mom died, her son was tragically killed in a homicide in Philadelphia. 3 weeks after her son died in a homicide in Philadelphia, her other son died. In 3 weeks, she lost both her sons. But somehow, God gave her the strength to get through those things. And she signed up to be baptized last year, and which is a miracle to me. But last year she signed up, but she didn't get to come to it because her dad died right before baptism party Sunday, and she had to be at his funeral. And so in those years, she lost her marriage, her sons. She lost her parents. Like, it's just tragedy after tragedy. And I look at this picture from last Sunday and I'm like, how? How are you, like, why did you even sign up to be, why are you smiling? And she answered that in her baptism story, her application she filled out. She wrote this, and we'll put it on the screen. She said, I clung to every possible blessing every day. Every whisper from God I heard. Every tear he saved. Every step he took with me. And every moment I felt God was with me in so many ways that I surely would not be where I am today without his love, guidance, courage, protection, and strength. Wow. I read that last week and I'm like, that's amazing. And that's why Debbie's baptism is my favorite baptism. If we can go back to her picture, what she just wrote is why she is smiling right here. Because God took her by the hand and he blessed her. And life tried to break her, but God gave her what she needed to get through it. And so we're about to take communion. And when we do, I want you to remember Jesus. But I want you to remember he's given you what you need to get through whatever is trying to break you right now. He has given you whatever you need. Somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to feel that today. Somebody needs to celebrate that today. He takes us and he blesses us. And life tries to break us, but he gives us what we need to get through it. He took me when I was a young kid. And then he blessed me as I followed Jesus when he forgave me. Life tried to break me when I was depressed, but he gave me what I needed to get through it. He takes us, he blesses us. Life tries to break us and he gives us what we need. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful he gives us what we need? I'm so thankful for that. And so we're gonna take communion, and you should have gotten this when you came in. And I want you to get the bread, the wafer part. It's very difficult. If you didn't get communion, Amy will get you it if you just raise your hand. But there is a film layer on top that you're gonna take off first. If you peel off and you see juice, you peeled the wrong layer. But you're gonna take the wafer, the bread, and if you could just hold it up when you have it. This represents Jesus's body, that he was here. He wasn't away somewhere in heaven, he was here. And his body was broken for us so that we could eventually be with him in heaven. And so when you take this bread, just remember that. You guys can go ahead and take the bread. Next, you're going to peel off the top or the bottom layer with the juice. And the juice is so powerful because it represents that Jesus gave up his life. He bled for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could spend forever with him. That's his blessing that he gives us when we let him take us by the hand. And so we can just hold up the juice. Jesus, we're so thankful that your blood was shed so that we could have life. You died so that we could live. And God, we just remember that. And we don't take that for granted, but we celebrate that we are alive because you gave your life for us. You can take the juice. Jesus, I am so thankful that you came here to earth. And your body, we talked about bread being broken today, but your body was broken on a cross and your blood was shed so that we could spend forever with you, so that we could celebrate our grace that we received, that we could celebrate the gift of a second chance, Lord. And so we're so grateful for that. And Lord, as you take us and you bless us, God, I pray that you will give us what we need when life tries to break us. And God, I know that represents people in this room, but God, I just pray that we'll walk out of here knowing that the miracle didn't happen until the brokenness happened in the story. And the miracle in our life may not happen until the brokenness happens. And so God, help us know you will give us what we need to get through whatever life throws at us. And that's why when we take communion, we remember you and we celebrate. And if you believe that, just say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Bayshore Podcast. I want to encourage you to take this message you just received and allow it to go deep into your soul and let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thanks to everyone that gives generously to Bayshore. It's because of you that this ministry is possible, creating life change all over the world. You can be a part of spreading the message around the world by going to bayshore.online and clicking Give. For all things Bayshore, visit bayshore.online to find out what your next step may be. You can subscribe right here and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening. God bless you.